An Osho Talk. The great Zen master, Ta Hui, reflections on the transformation of an intellectual to enlightenment. Number 26.
There is no second person. Master Chang Chin said, "The ultimate truth is wordless. People of the time do not realize this. They impose the practice of other things, considering them accomplishments. They do not know that inherent nature has never been sense objects, that it is the gate of subtle, wondrous, great liberation, aware of all there is, without being stained or obstructed. This light has never stopped. From ages past up to the present, it's been steady, never changing. The subtle illumination of the spiritual light does not depend on being cultivated and refined. Since they don't understand, people grasp the forms of things. It's just like rubbing the eyes, falsely making optical illusions arise."
There is no second person. In this small statement, Ta Hui is saying the whole existence is one. And because there is no second person, we cannot even say that it is one. This has to be understood, because the moment we say one, the two arises. Then all the numbers follow. In India, we had developed a roundabout way of saying one, not direct. The mystics of this country have never said that the world, the existence is one. They have always said it is not true. It is non-dual. It may look that what is the difference? But there is some problem logically. If you say one, it implies the whole series of numbers, all the digits. If you say not two, you don't say one, still you are indicating at one. Without saying, indicating at oneness. That's why Tahui is also saying in the same way, there is no second person. He could have simply said there is only one person. But he is a well-trained logician, intellectual of the first grade. Hence he is also very clear, not to commit any mistake when he is saying anything about the truth. And now he is in a position to say something about the truth. One of the great logicians of our times, Ludwig Wittgenstein, has written a book on pure logic. He was a strange person, verging on the mystic side, but never saying anything about it. Only once in a while, writing about logic, he will indicate certain things, which so that he was aware that there is much more in existence than just logic. In this book, Tractatus, he says one should not say anything about something which is inexpressible. I wrote him a letter. I was a student and I wrote him a letter that if you are true, you should not have said this much even. You say one should not say anything about the inexpressible, but you are already saying something about it. You are saying it is inexpressible. You are already giving some indication. My professor of logic said that you have been torturing me, now you have started torturing far away people. He lives in Germany now. It is none of your business to harass people. I said, I am not harassing, I am simply saying that if he really means it, then he should remove this sentence. And he was one of the best minds. Even his own teacher Bertrand Russell has recognized him as a better logician than himself. But he never replied to me, because to reply to me would have meant he has to remove that sentence from the book. There is no logical defense about it. Whatever you say, you are saying something. Even if you say nothing can be said about it, you are still saying something about it. So logic has its own subtleties. Tao Hui is a well-trained professional logician. But any logician, if he goes to the very extreme of his own logical thinking, is bound to come to the point from where logic has to be left behind. Because logic ends and existence continues. You have to leave the logic and go with existence. But then you have to start speaking a different language. Rather than simply saying there is only one existence, hence only one person, he knows he will be committing a logical mistake. He uses the same device that has been used for centuries in this country. He says, there are not two existences, there are not two persons, indicating about one, but without saying anything about it. Simply denying the duality, but not affirming the oneness. Because the moment you affirm the oneness, you have affirmed the whole multitude of numbers. And it is not something philosophical. Now his statements are becoming more and more existential. We are all part of one oceanic unity. Our separation is an illusion. Except our separation, there is no other illusion. And because of the separation, there are all kinds of problems. The enemies, the friends, the anger, the hate, the love. All the problems of ambition, struggle, conquering, dominating, becoming somebody special. But the moment you realize that there is nothing that separates you from anything in existence, not only the human beings, but the animals of the wild, the trees, the birds, the stars, they are all part of one organic unity. And I emphasize the word organic because there are two kinds of unities. One is a mechanical unity. For example, your car or your bicycle or your typewriter, they have a certain unity. But it is mechanical. You can take them apart. You can put each part of your car separate. That does not mean that the car has died. It simply means that you have to put all those parts again together. And that will not mean that the car has come back to life. It is not a resurrection. The car does not have any life. It is only a mechanical unit. You can put parts apart, you can put parts together. The car is not more than the sum total of its parts. The organic unity differs in the sense that it is more than the sum total of its parts. Once you have put it apart, something invisible disappears. Then you may try hard to put all the parts together, but you will not get the life again. You may have again an skeleton, but the skeleton is not what the man used to be. And you have simply put parts apart and you have not seen anything disappearing but something invisible to the eyes. Is no more there. You can put all the parts together perfectly, but it will be only a car. The mechanical unity is a dead thing. The organic unity is a living phenomenon. That's why I emphasize the word existence is an organic unity. We are all one. There is no other. Master Chang Ching said, the ultimate truth is wordless. It is almost impossible to say something about truth without committing mistake. However intelligently you try to express, still you will have to commit mistakes. Because it is just not possible to bring the ultimate experience into words. Chang Ching is right when he says the ultimate truth is wordless, and he is wrong too. Because if it is really wordless, then why call it ultimate? And why call it wordless? Because that too is a word. You are using two words, the ultimate and wordless. Although your effort is to indicate something true, your intention is good, but the very nature of language is such that you cannot manage not to commit mistakes. Hence, many mystics have remained silent. It is true that truth is wordless, but don't say it. By saying it, you are contradicting yourself. I would rather like a little roundabout way. Say that where words end, you enter into truth. Or when you are in absolute silence, whatever you experience is true. But you cannot say anything about it. Just the nature of language does not allow it. Once it is understood, that truth becomes available to you when you are in utter silence. How can you manage to bring that which comes in silence to the lowest level of language? Language is mundane. It has been invented by mundane purposes, for the marketplace. But for the temple there is no language. In the temple you have to be silent. It is perfectly right when you are talking about things to use language, but the moment you go beyond things, you have simply to leave language behind. So the intention of Chang Ching is right. He is a man who understands what he is saying. But I want you to understand one thing, that all that has been said about truth is bound to be with many flowers and flowers. It is the least faulty statement. The ultimate truth is worldless. People of the time do not realize this. They impose the practice of other things, considering them accomplishments. They do not know that inherent nature has never been sense objects, that it is the gate of subtle, wondrous, great liberation. The mystics have always condemned their contemporaries. Obviously, because those were the people who were misunderstanding them. Nobody condemns the dead because nobody knows whether they understand you or misunderstand you, whether they hear you or do not hear you, whether they even know about you. So about the dead nothing can be said. But the contemporaries, the living people, all the mystics have felt the problem that they don't understand. People of the time do not realize this. And Tahui is not very ancient, only 1,000 years have passed. But in the Rig Vedas, which are the ancient most scriptures in the world, the same statement you will find. The people of this time don't understand. Gautam Buddha 2,500 years before is saying the same thing. And unfortunately, I have to say the same thing. The people of the time don't understand. It seems to be something consistently the situation. The mystic is destined to be misunderstood. And perhaps the same will remain the situation in future. Because the whole world cannot become mystics. One would love to have the whole world become mystic seekers of truth. But it is hoping too much. Even the most optimist person cannot conceive the whole world one day will be able to understand the mysterious experience of spiritual realization. Chan Ching is right. People of the time do not realize that the ultimate truth is wordless. They go on asking questions about it, and there are people who answer them too, There are thinkers who think about truth. That is one of the most impossible thing in the world. How can you think about truth? Either you know it or you don't. A blind man thinking about light, what he can think? Is there any possibility? He cannot even think about darkness, what to say about light? I think many of the people in the world never consider the fact that blind people are not living in darkness. It is being taken for granted that a blind man, poor fellow, is living in utter darkness because he has no eyes. But you don't look at the fact that to see darkness, eyes are needed. How can you see darkness without eyes? I can understand, because when you close your eyes, you see darkness. Because you have eyes. The blind man has not closed his eyes. He has no eyes at all. Do you think the deaf person is living in utter silence? Then it would have been really blissful. That's what all the mystics are searching. Utter silence. If the deaf person is living in utter silence, then the problem is very simple. Why go on doing unnecessary meditations, yoga exercises, standing on your head and making all kinds of contortions? Leave this whole thing to the circuses. You simply go to the hospital and get your ears finished. And you will be in utter silence. But you will not be. The moment your ears are gone, you can neither hear noise nor you can hear silence. The moment your eyes are gone, neither you can see light nor you can see darkness. So how you can think? But all the thinkers of the world are doing the same thing. People are asking questions, and great thinkers are finding answers, and both are sitting in the same boat. Neither the questioner knows what he is asking about, nor the answerer knows what he is answering about. Truth is an experience, not a conception. It is not something that you speculate about, think about, and then come to a conclusion. It is not your conclusion. Truth is something that you open, you become silent, you become receptive, you become wordless. Your whole mind comes to a full stop. And then what is left is the truth. And to be soured with that experience is to be transformed into a new being. It is true resurrection. It is true because now you will never die. Now you will never know death. Now you will always know what is life, eternal life. And it is not going to be only your life, it is going to be simply life as such, neither mine nor yours. I am also a dewdrop in the same ocean in which you are a dewdrop. And the moment the dewdrop falls in the ocean, all separation disappears. Aware of all there is, without being stained or obstructed, this light has never stopped. The moment you go beyond words and beyond mind, you know something which can be indicated by light. Closest to it is our experience of light. But it is far more. Kabir says, as if 1,000 suns have arisen all around me. But even 1,000 suns will be simply a difference of quantity. One sun or 1,000 sun. The difference is not of quality. So I have an objection about it. All that can be said is that in our ordinary experiences, light comes to be closest to become a metaphor for that experience. But the experience is qualitatively different. Not just more and bigger light, something that can be represented by light in our ordinary mundane world. But even light or love or beauty all are simply metaphors. Poetic representations, but the actual experience is qualitatively different. Aware of all there is, without being stained or obstructed, this light has never stopped. Now, when Chang Ching says, this light has never stopped, he is trying to indicate the qualitative difference. All your lights that you know depend on fuel. You light a candle, it burns the whole night, but in the morning it is gone. The fuel is finished. It was dependent on the fuel. Scientists say that our sun has been given light to all the solar system, our solar system. There are millions of solar systems. There are millions of suns, and every sun has its own territory of planets and moons. That is a solar system. Our sun has its own solar system. It has been giving light to this solar system for at least 10 million years. Our earth is 4 million years old. But even the sun, tremendous source of light, is every day diminishing because the quantity, howsoever big, is bound to end one day. Although it is not very close, I have heard in a scientific conference, a scientist was saying that according to my calculations, and scientists don't agree about the calculations because it's very difficult to calculate how much more energy the sun still has inside it. All is inference. One scientist was reading a paper, how long our sun is going to last. And he said, according to me, it is going to last 4 billion years and not more than that. And that is the maximum limit I can give to the sun. More than that, it cannot have energy. A woman sitting in front of him started trembling. So he became afraid that what is the matter? He asked, what is the matter, lady? She said, repeat, what did you say? How long the sun is going to last? He said, it will last at least 4 billion years. She said, that's okay. I was afraid that you said 4 million. But what difference does it make to you? You are not going to last even 40 years, the scientist said to the old woman, that you need not be worried. It is not going to happen in your lifetime. You will be finished. And then whether it lasts 4 million or 4 billion does not make any difference. It may not make any difference, but one thing is certain, it is not different from the candle. Your candle lasts one night, it lasts billions of years, but there is a beginning and there is an end. So it is the same kind of light as your small candle that burns the night over and in the morning is gone. But this light has never stopped. The light that one experiences when mind stops is the light that has always been there, eternal, has no beginning and has no end. It does not depend on any fuel. And that makes the great difference, qualitative difference. It is independent of any fuel. It is autonomous. Because it is autonomous, it will continue forever. And to enter into such light, and the entering is not an ordinary entering. The entering is almost a merger, a melting, as ice melts into water. You melt into this light. From ages past up to the present, it has been steady, never changing. The subtle illumination of the spiritual light does not depend on being cultivated and refined. This spiritual light is what we mean by enlightenment. One who has seen this light has seen the ultimate source of life itself. By just seeing it, he has become it. Hence we call him enlightened. His innermost being is now connected with the ultimate. This experience of enlightenment does not depend on being cultivated. It does not depend on what you do, whether you practice yoga postures, or you chant certain mantras, or you read certain holy scriptures, or you do fasting, or any other kind of nonsense. It does not depend on what you do. It is already there. It is not a question of cultivating it. And it is not a question of making a goal of it. It is not far away from you. So there is no question of going in search for it. It is within you. All search has to stop, only then you will find it. All ambition has to collapse, all desiring, all longing, all goals have to disappear, and you are simply sitting, going nowhere, not even in your thoughts, just sitting silently, still, unmoving, going nowhere, relaxed within yourself, completely centered, and suddenly it is all there. And with the experience, the awareness that it has always been there. It is not dependent on any act of yours. No prayer is going to help. No fire worship is going to help. No reading of scriptures is going to help. What is going to help is stopping all activities of body and mind. Just for a few moments, being within yourself, going nowhere, just being at home, and it explodes with such tremendous force that what people have seen in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, is just a far away echo. It was great light according to our experiences, as if the sun itself has descended in Hiroshima. It was that bright. But the light that is within you is far more qualitatively different, because it has many aspects which no other light has. Love is one of its aspects. Beauty is one of its aspects. Grace is one of its aspects. Blissfulness is one of its aspects. And it is a light that is not hot. It is cool. You have just not to go anywhere, and you will find it. Do not cultivate anything, because what you are going to find is already there, only you are not looking at it, you are keeping it at your back. Just turn and look inside. Since they don't understand, people grasp the forms of things. It is just like rubbing the eyes, falsely making optical illusions arise. You can, by rubbing your eyes, create illusions. For example, there is only one sun or one moon. You can rub your eyes and you can see three moons, four moons. It all depends on you. One man has taken his son to the pub. He was a well-known drunkard of the locality. His son has become of age and he wanted to teach him that how much drinking is allowable. Is harmless. So they both started drinking. And then, after a few drinks, the father said to the son, "Look at those four people sitting by the side of the other table." The son said, "Four? There is only one person sitting." The father said, "My God, I have gone already past." But still you can learn the teaching. Before you enter in the pub, look all around. See accurately. And before one man start looking too, that is the time to stop. I have already gone ahead. One man is looking forward. And what have you been doing, drinking or not? The boy was afraid, so he was not drinking. He was just pretending. The father was drinking and he was pretending. Just to see what happens. He said to the father, "Now let us go home. You have already passed the line according to yourself. You are seeing four persons. I have heard about another drunkard who was coming home and was obstructed by an electric pole. He tried hard this way and that, but always the pole was coming in front of him. And he was hitting himself with the pole and he said, 'This is too much. I have never seen that there are so many poles just in front of my house.' Finally, a policeman watching him felt compassionate, came close to him, said, 'What is the matter?' He said, 'What is the matter? I am surrounded by electric poles. So in whichever direction I go, immediately I am hit by the pole.' The policeman said, wait, I will try to take you out. You are certainly surrounded by many poles. But the man said, just when I had gone this evening, there was one pole, as always, from where so many poles have come. And the policeman took him to his house, because he was coming always late, the wife was tired, so she has given the key to him that whenever you come, you take the key, don't disturb, just silently open the door and go to your bedroom and go to sleep. There is no question of any more fighting and quarreling, because we have done enough. It doesn't make any difference. In fact, the more I fight, the more you drink. He tried hard, the policeman was seeing. He tried hard, but his both hands were shaking. So the key was not going in the lock. And the wife was watching from the window. She said, what is the matter? Have you lost the key? He said, no, I have not lost the key. Something seems to be wrong with the lock. If you can throw me another lock, I may be able to open it. The policeman said, don't be stupid. The lock is perfectly okay. And even if you can manage to open another lock, that won't help. Can I help you? He said, you can help. You just keep the house just for a moment still. Because it seems there is going to be a very big earthquake. The house is moving, and because of the house, the lock is moving. I am moving. The key, I cannot manage to put it in the hole. It is not only the drunkards who see many things. Even in our ordinary experience, we are seeing many things which are not there. You see a beautiful woman or a beautiful man, and you get married, and after a week, you don't see any beauty. You simply don't want to see that woman at all. Neither she wants to see you. Love turns into hate within a week. Week end is love's end. You have come to the very end. It is 5-day working days. In 2 days, find out somebody else. What happens when you see so much beauty? Are you behaving differently than the drunk? Is the beauty there, or you are projecting it? Is it your lust that is creating the beauty? if you try to understand, you are projecting the beauty. That's why when your lust is fulfilled, the beauty is finished. There has never been anything in the first place. You manage to see it. It was your biological lust that gave you the illusion. And the same was true for the poor woman. She saw in you as if you are Alexander the Great. And after 7 days she finds you a third-rate mouse. Of no value at all. And both are caught in a hell, and it seems difficult how to get rid of each other. And it is not going to give you any experience. If somehow you can get away from the woman and the woman can get away from you, immediately you will fall in love with another woman and she will fall with another man. And the same story can be repeated whole life. And still you will not be aware that it is your projection. A man who is aware can only see the reality. Otherwise, whatever you see is your own idea. Whatever you want to see, you see. If you see the reality, then there is no frustration ever. Because the reality remains as it is. But your projections cannot remain. A drunkard is simply a perfect example of all our experiences. It is not only a symbol, but almost exactly the case. Now scientists say if they inject few more hormones in you, immediately what you are seeing around you will be different. For example, you see a woman as ugly. And if few hormones which make your manhood more vital are injected in you, immediately the ugly woman will start looking like Sophia Loren. My God, from where Sophia Loren has come? Those hormones are affecting your eyes, your sensibility. They are forcing your mind to see what is not there. Any love affair can be destroyed without any difficulty. One of my students was in a great love affair. All love affairs are great. It is no point saying great affair, love affair. And he was a very intelligent student. And the father of the girl was an army colonel, and he has told that if he sees him near his house, he will shoot him. And he was such a dangerous man. He was known to do things like that. So he could not even go near the house of the girl. And the more he was prevented, more his mind was projecting, dreaming continuously. He asked me, what should I do? Because that old colonel is so idiot, he may shoot, because the whole day he goes on polishing his gun. I look from far away what he is doing, but whenever I see, he is polishing his gun, as if he has only one business. He was a retired man. Just old habit, nothing else to do. And he was known that he is dangerous type. And one can talk to somebody, if he will allow you to come close, he will shoot you immediately. He has told him that if I see you near my house, then whatever happens to me, but I will suit you. I said, the best way for you is, I know a doctor, you go to the doctor. I said, what doctor will do with it? I said, you do one thing, the doctor will take few hormones out of you. Or he will give you some anti-hormones. If he cannot take them out, he can give you some anti-hormones. He said, my God, then what will happen? I said, what will happen? Your great love will disappear. There is no need unnecessarily to waste poor old colonel's one cartridge. There is no need. Let him polish his gun. He said, I used to think that he is a strange, you seem even more strange. What kind of advice you are giving me? I said, that's the only right advice, because it is nothing but hormones. How many times you have seen his girl? He said, not many times, because of him, it is so difficult. I told him that you consult any doctor or consult the professor of biochemistry in the university. It is a simple phenomenon. There is nothing special in it. It is only hormonal attraction. But you get confused. You think you are in love. Those hormones are playing tricks. All your senses are under the impact of your biology, physiology, your hormones, your chemistry, and your whole life is surrounded by all kinds of illusions. Only a man of realization sees things as they are. You cannot see things as they are. You can only see things as you want to see them, or perhaps as your physiology, your biology, your chemistry makes you to see them. Once a man goes beyond mind, he goes also beyond biology, beyond physiology. These are all parts of his mind. Knowing the light of the beyond, knowing the truth, and being the truth, and merging with one organic whole, all this will happen inside you, nobody else will know about it. But suddenly your perception of the world will change. Your ambitions for power will disappear. Your ambitions for money will disappear. Your delusions about beauty will disappear. You will see beauty in a totally different way. You will see life not surrounded by death. This whole world will remain the same, but still it will not be any more the same, because you have changed. Your change, your transformation is going to transform the whole world. You will see things in a new light. And there will be no attachment, there will be no desire to grab, there will be no greed, there will be no jealousy. And when all these poisons are no more there, your life is going to be a life of immense grace, of tremendous joy. Full of light, which will start radiating from you, which will be felt by those who are receptive to it. It may trigger the same experience into others. It can become a chain reaction. That's how it has been going on from masters to disciples. It is not transferred through words. It is transferred through presence, through energy. all that is needed on the part of the disciple is an open heart, with no expectations, with no prejudices, just a simple, silent, open heart. And if the Master is a man of enlightenment, his fire can start your own inner flame. His fire can make you a fire, a flame. That's how light has been transferred. Truth has been transferred from masters to disciples down the ages. They have been speaking but their speaking was only a net to catch hold of your minds. Because your minds need words. And if they can catch hold of your minds, then there is every possibility you will start coming closer and closer. And without your being aware of it, any moment the fire from the heart of the Master can jump into you, and then it will be too late. You cannot do anything. It has happened. Now all that you can do is allow the fire to jump into others. There is no way to escape from this fire. Because in fact, it is your own fire, just it was repressed with mountains of rubbish, because you trusted, because you loved, because you have a certain faith, and you opened your heart without any fear, the Master's fire can burn all your rubbish, and your own fire can start being the way it has to be. And once you have known your own fire, your own light, your own flowering, life is such a contentment that only one thing remains to do after that, and that is a constant gratefulness, a gratitude. I call it the only prayer. It has no words, but just a feeling towards existence of deep gratitude.